Hello and welcome to In Depth. That is the PSA program that airs every Sunday morning on all Lotus radio stations, KOZZ 104.5, the list goes on. And I'm Ian Sorensen, your host. In the interview chair opposite me is first-time guest Catherine Nielsen with the Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities. How are you, Catherine?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. So tell me about this Governor's Council and what it entails, what your mission is, that sort of thing.
Awesome. So I'm actually the projects manager for the Nevada Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities. There's actually a Developmental Disabilities Council in every one of the states and U.S. territories. We're mandated by the Developmental Disabilities Act to be here.
Okay.
So the council actually engages in advocacy, capacity building, and systemic change activities for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Nevada. We don't provide direct service, but we do receive federal funding to support programs that promote self-determination, integration, and inclusion for all people with IDD in Nevada. Our council has 23 members, and we are majority-led, or 60% of our members are people with intellectual and developmental disabilities or parents of those with IDD.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So we host a lot of events. We put out community grants where we go to the legislature to try and push for equality in Nevada for people with intellectual or developmental disabilities. And we try to make changes happen to more equalize things.
Okay. So how long has this council been around?
Quite some time.
You said it's in every state and territory in the U.S. It's like a mandated thing.
That's correct. So we're all mandated to be here by the DD Act.
Okay. And when did the act go through? If you can remember, it might be off the top of your head, but.
So that actually happened in 2004.
Okay. Yes. So what is kind of a pressing, you're a projects manager, so I feel like you're on the ground floor, you're dealing with a lot of different aspects. Are there certain topics or issues that are more pressing at this time?
At this time, we are really actually pushing for employment for people with disabilities in Nevada, equality and transition. And then we're also really working hard on transportation here in Nevada for people with disabilities as
Got
well.
Got you. And how is that going?
Well, it's going, it's moving along. We just actually had our first statewide transportation summit back on May 1st. We had 150 people attend that event, and they were all of different transportation providers here in Nevada, people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, the aging population as well. And we're really trying to make a more systemic change towards transportation throughout the whole state. There's little pockets of transportation everywhere, but nothing that really connects the whole state together.
Gotcha. So we're talking about mostly what, public transportation, buses and so on, or is it all manner?
Really all manner of transportation. Okay. So public transportation, shared ride services like Uber and Lyft.
Okay.
Having accessible transportation for those that are in wheelchairs or have mobility constraints.
Right.
And really, without transportation, your life is so limited. You can't have a job. You know, in Carson City, the public transportation system shuts down at around 5 p.m. So if you have a job, it's really hard to get home.
Yeah. Some people's jobs go past 5 p.m., for God's
absolutely.
Sake.
Absolutely. And it really limits somebody's ability to be engaged in the community.
Gotcha. And what's happening on the employment front?
Well, we always try to push for integrated and competitive employment. And right now, the 700-hour program is a huge, great program here in Nevada. That's ran through vocational rehab.
Okay.
And it allows individuals with disabilities to be placed on a list where if a position opens up, they look at that list and consider them for employment before the general list comes out of applicants. So as long as they qualify for the job, hopefully they will get the position and be able to work approximately 700 hours in that position.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic.
Absolutely. And then they should be able to transition into full-time employment.
Okay, cool. Are you kind of like kind of lobbying different companies, especially big companies in our area, to be more inclusive about that? How are they doing as far as that goes?
Actually, because we are federally funded and mandated, we are not allowed to lobby.
Oh, right. Okay.
But we do provide education. So we reach out to the different employers and such. We also put out community grants. So they may be able to apply for a grant within our office, which would allow people with disabilities to have more opportunities for employment as well. We do grants in different areas, but for the employment aspect, we've had several grants that put together programs to help train individuals with disabilities in employment.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, it's a shame I didn't get you into the studio till now, because you've had a number of events over the last couple months.
Absolutely.
Tell me about those, how they went, what did they entail, that sort of thing.
So our Transportation Summit was one of the largest events that we've put on in the last couple of years. But right now we actually have a Partners in Policymaking class. This actually teaches self-advocates and parents or caregivers about how to advocate at the legislature, make law changes and stuff, and then in all aspects of their life, being self-advocates, which means basically speaking up for yourself and making your own decisions and such. So our Partners in Policymaking class is one of our largest projects, I guess you could say. Okay. We also have our YES program, which stands for Youth Empowering Students. This is actually a guide to transitioning out of high school. A lot of the times they're not provided all of their options before they're able to make a choice. Within our organization, we really push the phrase experience-based informed choice. So really being able to experience all of your options before you make a decision. And we really push, obviously, self-advocacy to ensure that their voices are heard.
Okay. So as far as that kind of getting people ready to get out of high school, is it almost like a mini internship thing, kind of getting them to different positions and seeing what they like?
So the Youth Empowering Students is actually taught by students or young adults with disabilities.
Oh,
they go
okay.
into the local high schools and teach students all of their options, give them the information on what's available to them if they want to go to college, if they want to go get a job, or if maybe they want to go into job and day trainings.
Oh, right. That's really cool.
Yes. So cool. We pay students to go into the high school and teach it themselves, which also gives them the job experience of teaching.
Wow. All right. So you have a number of programs and projects you're keeping track of at all times.
It's absolutely. Juggle a lot. We have 4 community grants right now out into the community. One of our major grants is also through the Justin Hope Foundation, where they go out into the organizations and teach first responders on how to interact with individuals with disabilities.
Wow. And these are things that you never necessarily would have thought of.
That's correct. Here in Washoe County, there's also a 911 dispatch registry that came out from our funding as well, where an individual with disabilities or really anyone can go and register with this registry, where if they call 911, this information pops up on the screen and allows the first responders or the 911 registry or the dispatch to relay this information to first responders. It talks about if an individual has a diagnosis, if they're on medication, if there's weapons in the home, if there's a body of water nearby, if they have a favorite hiding space. A lot of the times when first responders interact with somebody with disabilities, the situation can escalate before they know it. So they're given all of this information prior to getting to the scene.
Oh, wow. That's a really beautiful idea because, I mean, there have been numerous tragic stories of them not knowing and then it ends in possible violence or what have you. So this is really a wonderful service to provide.
Absolutely. And our grants pay for the individuals or the organizations to be able to put these programs out into the community. So anybody that is located in Washoe County can use the 911 dispatch registry.
Okay, beautiful. And you mentioned earlier, it's what, a board of 23 people?
That's correct.
And 60% are people with developmental disabilities or parents of those with that.
That's correct.
And I'm guessing that was actually a concerted effort so they know, I mean, who better to ask what they need than the people who are getting those services?
The saying always goes that you don't really know someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes.
Right.
And they're the experts. So right. We want to hear from them.
Okay, that's really cool. So what is this? I think you have an event coming up this next month of June.
That's correct.
You want to get the word out on.
We do. So we're hosting a Journey of Hope event in Carson City. This is actually going to be held at Western Nevada Community College on June 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. This event is sponsored by our council and WNC to celebrate the team of Pi Kappa Phi fraternity on their cross-country bicycle trek, whose sole purpose is to bring to the forefront the abilities of people with disabilities, spreading understanding and acceptance. They actually raise roughly $500,000 a year, riding from San Francisco to Washington, D.C., covering about 32 states and over 12,000 miles. So their first stop here in Nevada is in Carson City on June 14th, where we're going to be celebrating the team and learning information from them as well. It is open to the public. It's free of charge. There's free dinner, free information from different community resources as well. And it's again, from 5 to 8 p.m. on June 14th.
Okay, well, that's a really cool idea. Are there any programs or projects that you're even just contemplating right now that aren't necessarily, the wheels aren't turning yet, but you're like, man, I'd really like to work on this aspect? that sort of thing?
Well, we are hoping to bring the Partners in Policymaking program up here to Northern Nevada. Currently, it's in Las Vegas. It is 8 months long. It's about 130 hours of curriculum where we teach individuals with disabilities and their parents, but we're hoping to bring that up here to Northern Nevada. We also have our self-advocacy conference in Las Vegas, September 16th and 17th, but we do provide funding for travel, personal care attendance, and meals, so we'll pay for all of the expenses, and this will teach self-advocates a lot of different information about their lives, and if you'd like more information about that event, we actually have a website at nevadaddcouncil.org, or you can call our office as well.
Okay, yeah, I was just actually going to tell you, or ask you what your website was, and are you on social media as well?
We are. We're on social media. We do Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So we are available pretty much 24/7 to answer questions and connect with the community.
Fantastic. Is there anything else you want to put out there that you haven't mentioned yet about projects or events or what have you?
Absolutely. So we have our next council meeting, which is next week, June 6th, at 9 a.m. You can join us. It's at Aging and Disability Services in Reno. The address is 9670 Gateway Drive, Suite 200, but it's open to the public. And we would really like to have the public there to hear input and such. And our council meetings are quite interactive, so they're between here and Las Vegas as well. But anybody's welcome to join us. We also have our policy committee, our evaluation committee, and our executive committee. But I would really encourage anybody who's interested in making law changes or advocating for people with disabilities to join us on any or all of our policy committees. And those events are always posted on our website and our social media.
That's fantastic. Tell me the website again.
NevadaDDCouncil.org.
All right. Fantastic. I think, is that all you got?
That's it.
You just laid out a lot. I mean, you guys are constantly working. The Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities. That was Catherine Nielsen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.